79, a season high in points for the Wildcats. Chrissy Carr ties the career high with 24 points and sets a new career high with 11 rebounds. And the Wildcats hold off the Lady Raiders.
K-State women get a win. They're 2-12 in the Big 12, 7-14 overall. Emily Ebert from Frankfort, Kansas, career high of 19 points, 6 of 11 shooting, 5 rebounds. I know her mom and dad and her family pretty well from when I was up in Northeast Kansas. Great family. Chrissy Carr had 24. K-State women win over Texas Tech, 86-79. And a K-State men's basketball nugget. Lon Kruger did beat K-State in Bramlage as an opposing head coach. In his first trip to Bramlage Coliseum with a sub-500 Oklahoma team. That's right, a losing record. Lon Kruger beat K-State and Frank Martin, who was ranked 22nd. So it makes complete sense. Lon goes in with an unranked team and beats a ranked K-State team under Frank Martin. Bruce Weber's never lost to Lon Kruger head-to-head in Manhattan. So there is a feather in the cap for Bruce versus Frank Martin. If you want to compare things,
I said that
Lon
all the
Kruger
time,
can't beat Bruce Weber in Bramlage.
Yeah, that Bruce, you know, he swept Oklahoma and the first year, I think, there. And I was like, well, Frank never swept Oklahoma. So he's got one thing on him there. So, yeah. It's just wild that when you go back and think about all the inside of that. Like, Lon Kruger's had way better teams than that, obviously.
Yeah.
That should have probably won in Manhattan multiple times. And, yeah, I guess you just go and play the game. That's why you go out there and play. And K-State says, no, we're not going to let you win here. Just the way it is. You're not going to win it. You're alma mater anymore.
Well, since that win for Lon Kruger, when he beat Frank Martin in K-State, when K-State was ranked that year, and Oklahoma's losing record, since then, Lon Kruger's lost 9 straight at K-State against Bruce Weber, even with teams that are ranked number 1, number 4, number 7, number 17, number 25, including this year at number 7. So
he has offset it with quite a few blowouts in Norman, though. I will say that.
You know, whether it's a blowout or win, if you always win at home, you're always going to split.
Yep.
So you're never going to fall behind in the series if you don't lose at home. So I don't care if you win by 1, 9 times at K-State and lose by 30 9 times at Oklahoma. Guess what your record is? 9-9.
Yeah. Yep.
You don't get extra points for winning by a lot. Maybe in some fans' eyes, which is ridiculous. Kind of what got Frank Solich fired in Nebraska, got Turner Gill fired at Kansas, was how badly they're losing, not being competitive, which I get that's important if you keep losing, if you're not even competitive. But if you're splitting season series with a team, who cares if they blow you out at their place, but you beat them in the return game? I mean, it's all good, right? Athletes of the week, got a couple.
Yes, St. John's Tipton Juniors, Paige Hollerick and Leah Brummer are NCKSSports.com cutting game telephone and cable athletes of the week. Both players had career highs and wins earlier this week for the Lady Jays basketball team. St. John's Tipton's 14-1 through the regular season and went 10-0 in the Northern Plains League. Brummer scored 27 points on 10 of 19 shooting from the floor in St. John's Tipton. 62-21 went over Lincoln Tuesday night. 3-for-4 from three-point land, 4-for-5 from the free throw line. She had 5 rebounds, 5 steals in the win. She's averaging 10 points, shooting 40% from the floor, 80% from the free throw line, also averaging 4 steals, 3.5 rebounds this year for the Lady Jays. Hollerick scored a career-high 19 points for St. John's Tipton, an impressive 59-54 road win at Clifton Clyde Monday night. Shot 3-of-5 from beyond the arc, made 6-of-10 free throws in that win, and also had a big game Friday, and the Lady Jays win over Sylvan Lucas, registered her first career double-double with 13 points and 11 rebounds against the Lady Mustangs. She scored in double figures 6 times this year, averaging 8.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 3 steals, and shooting 40% from three-point land. So, again, congratulations to Leah Brummer and Paige Hollerick, our NCKSSports.com Cunningham telephone and cable athletes of the week for this week.
Very deserving. Congratulations to both of them. All right, let's go through sub-state brackets from yesterday that came out for 2A and 3A for Beloit. Beloit's easy. The girls are going to be at Phillipsburg on Monday at 7 o'clock. The boys will be at TMP on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And we'll have, hopefully, both those games live video streaming at CKSports.com, the Beloit Trojan channel. Who knows what Keisha's done with all that. And then we'll have it on the radio for you, both those games for sure, for Beloit coming up Monday and Tuesday. We have Lakeside Osborne tonight on KD Country 94 on the girls' side. More on that in a little bit. Tomorrow night, Thunder Ridge Lakeside boys' game. We'll preview that tomorrow at 6:50 pregame from Downs in that 1A Substate boys' first-round contest. So that game on KD Country 94, KD Country 94. TMPSports.com. Beloit girls are the 8 seed. Phillipsburg, the 1 seed. The Beloit boys, the 8 seed. TMP is the 1 seed. And I'll let Dusty go through the rest and then deal with Smith Centers as well.
Yes, the girls bracket, the rest of that one that you were talking about with Beloit, as they will have on the 4-5 matchup, Norton hosting Colby coming up on Monday. 2-seed is TMP Marion hosting 7-seed Russell, and then the 3rd-seed Goodland is hosting 6-seed Minneapolis coming up on Monday night in the girls' bracket. And then in the boys' bracket, we have Phillipsburg, the number 4-seed, hosting 5-seed Goodland. Minneapolis is the number 2-seed on the bottom side of that bracket against 7-seed Russell at home. Minneapolis there on Tuesday. And then Norton, the 3rd-seed, is hosting 6-seed Colby coming up there on Tuesday as well. So that's the 3A brackets there for Beloit Substate. And, yes, Smith Center will be at the Trigo Substate in Class 2A. The Lady Red are the number 2-seed, and they play on Tuesday for the girls' games as Smith Center will host number 7 Hill City coming up on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And then Ellis, the 3-seed, hosting 6-seed Oakley on the bottom side of the bracket. Top side of the bracket has Trigo, the 1-seed, hosting 8-seed Plainville, and Leota's number 4-seed. They'll play their home against number 5-seed Hoxie. And then on the boys' side, Hoxie's number 1-seed. They're 20-0, taking on a Smith Center team that's 1-18, the number 8-seed. That's 7 o'clock on Monday night for the Smith Center Redmen. And then also on the top side of the bracket, Hill City's the 4-seed, hosting 5-seed Leota. Number 2-seed Trigo will be at home against 7-seed Plainville. And then Ellis has a home game, the number 3-seed against number 6-seed Oakley. So that's a look at the 3A and 2A brackets for the area teams that are involved. All these brackets, again, are posted online at ncksports.com.
All right. Let's see. We've got basketball tonight. Lakeside Osborne girls, Dusty with the call this evening. Pregame at 6:50. And this is simple. You win, you move on. You lose, you're done. Travis Eberle, head coach of the Lakeside Lady Knights, got to take care of the basketball tonight against Osborne.
A lot of little things that, you know, we did with certain parts of the games were really good, and then there's times, you know, we, you know, didn't take care of the ball very well, and we've been struggling with that this year. And turnovers turn into layups. When you play a team like Osborne, you know, every chance they get, they want to run the floor. So, you know, you got to take care of the ball on, you know, on both ends of the floor, you know, get defensive rebounds so we can get down the floor.
And Osborne girls head coach Trina Luters gives us some keys to them winning tonight.
We want to come out and get a jump on them quicker in the game and set the tone and the pace for the game. We don't want to allow Lakeside to set the pace of the game, and so we're going to come out, and the way the girls have been playing the last three nights of ball, they are being focused. We're being very mindful of what we need to do, and mentally we are ready to come into this game and take care of business the way we need to take care of it.
All right, Dusty, thoughts on this one? They've played earlier in the year. Of course, Lakeside hasn't gotten as many games to play as Osborne has, so
yeah.
This decides whether or not you move on or you're done.
11 games for Lakeside, 18 for Osborne. Osborne struggled a little bit the first time they played them, and they actually trailed late in the game, had to go on a 10-0 run to win it by 6 there to finish out back in late January. So Osborne is really, like Coach Luter said, they've been playing really well lately and really getting into their press defense and causing a lot of problems for the opponent, and so that's why Travis Everly's saying they need to take care of the basketball tonight. So you know, Osborne's definitely a favorite tonight, but again, like we saw last time the two teams met, you got to go out and play, and you can't just rely on that you think that, oh, we're better, we're going to go ahead and get this win. So again, Osborne is the favorite, but we're looking forward to this matchup here this evening in Osborne. Again, pregame coverage at 6:50, and game starts at 7 o'clock for the girls here tonight. Other games that are going on in that sub-state, the number 2-seed Rock Hills is taking on the 7-seed Stockton. That's 7 o'clock tonight. Stockton might be the 7, but they're a better team than what their record would show. So Rock Hills has a pretty tough opponent, actually, to start this first round. And then the 4-5 matchup is Oberlin hosting Rollins County Atwood here this evening. The winner of that game will play Thunder Ridge coming up next Thursday. So let's look at that 1A Division I sub-state, which is taking place in Osborne with the semis and finals next week then, after the first round or quarterfinal games take place tonight and tomorrow night for the boys. Also, 1A Division I sub-state at Kent and Galva, actually the host schools, again, quarterfinals. Sylvan Lucas hosting Solomon tonight from the area. 1A Division II Wakefield sub-state. Wilson is at Wakefield. The winner of that game will take on number 1-seed St. John's Tipton next Thursday. And then Natoma's at Tescott. The winner of that will play the number 2-seed Southern Cloud next Thursday as well. And then the Pike Valley is at the Axtell 1A Division 2 sub-state, and they play as a 6 seed at number 3 seed Lynn tonight in the first round of Division 2 sub-state there at Axtell. So look at what's going on with high school hoops tonight. Our coverage will actually start tonight with high school basketball locker room chats, 5:10 to 5:15 this evening. We'll talk to the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas, and we'll have those done, and coming up at 6:50 tonight will be pregame for Osborne hosting Lakeside in girls basketball.
I'm not a fan of what Keisha did in 1A.
No.
Not at all. I don't understand what they're doing. If you don't understand what's going on here, if you're one seed and get a bye, for instance, Thunder Ridge girls.
Yeah.
They played what, Monday or Tuesday? Did they play Tuesday this week?
They played Tuesday. Yeah.
Tuesday. They don't play again until next Thursday. They got 9 days in between games in a season where you really need to find as many dates to try to get a few games in, because most teams don't get enough because of COVID. And so this could easily be a great situation for a lot. It's like Lakeside, for instance. Lakeside's been shortchanged with games. Pike Valley, it's been a great opportunity for them to maybe pick up a game on a Thursday or Friday this week and start sub-state play next Monday or Tuesday. Now, that'd be up to the schools. Like, oh, do we want to play Thursday or Friday right before we're going to play a sub-state game Monday or Tuesday? That'd be up to them.
Yeah.
But I don't know why we couldn't have all the sub-state next week. I don't know why these games tonight and tomorrow night, why didn't we just have Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yeah.
I don't like 2A and 3A and other sub-states.
The
I don't
sub-state bracket 1A was exactly no need to do the this. Same. As the 3A, 2A,
why did we split up 1A and take away a possibility of some teams getting a game they could have scheduled tonight
games
or tomorrow?
Games for the end of the week, but you've automatically, no matter, even if you're the one seed or not, so if you're the one seed, you've got more than a week off.
Right.
If you're not, you have a week off no matter what.
Right, no matter what.
Because they don't play again until next Thursday.
That's
so
right.
So it's just like, it doesn't make sense to me from that aspect of it. And even if it's not COVID where games were lost, you could still spread out your schedule and then have extra, with weather that comes in,
right?
Have extra dates that you could play these games at the end of the year.
Keisha's taken away dates that you could have made up stuff.
They're concerned they won't have enough officials and they've had issues with that in the past, and so they decided to change this part of it. That's about the only thing that can come into my mind that could be something that maybe the officials are not available
for everywhere.
Well,
but they set this well in advance, though.
Yeah.
I don't buy that yet. I think down the line that could be an issue, no doubt. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It really doesn't. And then you have this long layoff. Like, teams have had ups and downs, stoppages, layoffs, quarantines, and now you're finally getting close to the end of the year. Let's just get through it. I mean, let's play as many games as we can for these kids. And instead, we got week and a half layoff now between games, or as you said tonight, like, the winner of the Osborne Lakeside girls, like, the loser's done, we know that, but the winner's waiting a whole week to play again.
Yeah.
Why don't they turn around and play Monday or Tuesday? Oh, yeah. Or, here's a thought, play these games next Monday and Tuesday. Now, it might be officiating because of you got games 2A and 3A and so forth on Monday and Tuesday. So maybe that is the reason.
I mean, that's
maybe
the only thing.
That's the only thing I can come up
feasible
with.
That
but I wish Keisha would be transparent.
Kind of tell us why you're doing
I wish
that,
Keisha would be transparent and explain that and say, because this is irregular. This is odd to have this big of a break in 1A in postseason play. And then, as we said, the teams that get those first-round buys, like a St. John's Tipton girls, Rock Hills Thunder Ridge girls, Rock Hills boys, or whatever, they got a week and a half between games.
Yeah.
That's not ideal.
Yeah, and then the boys, you add another day to that, right?
Because
they play Friday. So
right.
The Rock Hills boys play Tuesday.
10 days.
And they have to wait around here and get prepared for what some people might say is the best team in the sub-state, probably.
Well, plenty of time to prepare.
As long as Stockton wins tomorrow night.
Right.
Because, Stockton's had Osborne's number for sure, and they're right there toward the top of this sub-state, too.
Right.
At number two. So, mm-hmm. It's I don't like it. I know the coaches don't like it either, but Coach Grauerholtz said that with him it's only an extra two days compared to the other team that he's playing, so he's hoping it doesn't make as big of a difference as you would think just based on that.
Of all the years we needed these days to get in other games, this is the year, and this is the year they do it that way. The latest on Tiger Woods, they say there's no evidence of driver impairment. He was not drunk. Crash was purely an accident. There's no skid marks, no evidence that Tiger applied the brakes of his vehicle. So don't know exactly what happened and why he went off the road, but Tiger, of course, going through numerous surgeries and leg injuries, shattered ankle, but it sounds like there's nothing to it other than it was an accident. How about this news coming out? As if Kansas football didn't need more bad news. And Kansas University as a whole. There's the NCAA investigation, you know, the FBI investigation with the basketball program. And now this coming out of Kansas and Lawrence. Les Miles, during his tenure at LSU, at USA Today sued to get this information to be provided publicly. They got word that there was a stuff that they believe was hidden, covered up at LSU. There were allegations, there were court documents, or documentation, I should say, and they found out about it through some sources, and they sued to have the information released, and guess what? They won.
Yeah.
And now the stuff's hitting the fan a little bit. Les Miles, during his tenure at LSU, faced allegations of sexual harassment and reached a settlement with one former student intern, according to reports that surfaced on Wednesday from USA Today. Miles years ago reached a settlement with a former LSU athletic department student intern who accused the then Tigers head coach of hitting on her. Additionally, USA Today reports that LSU put together an internal investigation in 2013 to look into allegations that Miles sexually harassed and made sexist comments about student workers. USA Today reported an outside law firm's investigation deemed he acted improperly, but LSU never appeared to punish its head football coach. News of the settlement came to light per some smaller papers in Louisiana, as LSU's handling of sexual misconduct and domestic violence complaints has been investigated in recent months, all stemming from a USA Today report in November regarding those issues on the LSU campus. LSU's Vice President of Strategic Communications, Jeff Sauboren, said that LSU learned of the settlement through its own internal investigation, but LSU was not a party to it. Via phone call, Les Miles denied harassing the student about a decade ago. He said that's not true. KU responded to the Lawrence Journal-World yesterday afternoon regarding the report. Dan Beckler, KU Athletics Associate Athletic Director for Public Relations, stated the University of Kansas is aware of a media report involving KU head football coach Les Miles. We have spoken with Coach Miles about the allegations in the story and will continue to gather information that is made available to us. KU was not aware of these allegations when Coach Miles was hired in 2018. Because this involves Coach Miles' former employer and predates his time at KU, and because we do not have factual knowledge about details of these allegations, it is not appropriate for us to comment any further, concluded Mr. Beckler from KU. There is a lot more information that's posted. USA Today has it on here. Let's see here. There was... LSU was prompted to hire another outside law firm to audit its handling of roughly 60 sexual misconduct cases at LSU from 2016 to 2018. A three-year period, there's 60 sexual misconduct cases, and so forth and so on. The USA Today attempted to contact the women who alleged the misconduct. The one who responded declined the comment. Miles did not return a phone call from USA Today. Once again, KU not aware of this when he was hired. Do you believe that?
I mean, I can believe it if it was all sealed when he was at LSU. Like, he wouldn't bring it up, in an interview process or anything like that.
Right.
It's feasible, I think. I
think it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. I think it depends how hard you vet.
Yeah.
I think if you really want Les Miles to be your coach, you might not vet as hard.
And I don't think they were set on Jeff Miles or buddies. Set on Les Miles, and it was like whatever.
Long and
whatever.
Les Miles,
we're not going to look into this too much. We just want him as our coach.
That's what I think.
So I can believe it for sure.
I can too. USA has argued that as a public figure and the highest earning state employee at the time, the public's right to know about the probe outweighed Miles' privacy interests. It also argued that the hiring of an outside law firm does not make an internal investigation confidential, which is a pretty good point. In court documents, Miles' attorneys claim that the records should remain completely private because the allegations were found to be without corroborative evidence. The investigation, they said, did not result in any discipline or finding of wrongdoing, and that it exonerated Miles. At the same time, his attorneys said the records contain information of a highly personal nature, the disclosure of which would cause Miles to immediately suffer serious injury to his reputation and personal life and irreparable loss. The investigation did not, in fact, absolve Miles of wrongdoing, USA Today has learned from independent sources, nor did it conclude that the allegations were baseless. Rather, investigators determined that Miles' conduct did not rise to the level of breaking the law. So there's contradictory information coming from Miles' camp and from other people that are close to the investigation. Somebody's not telling the truth, and that's what usually happens. So somebody's not being fully forthright in what's really going on, and that's not a surprise either. It happens every day in America with legal matters like such as these. So stay tuned, and we'll see what happens, if anything, to Les Miles as a head football coach of Kansas, or if that hurts them in any kind of recruiting down the line. I don't know, but more bad news for Kansas. Just the fact that this comes up and the fact that Kansas didn't know about it doesn't paint a positive light on Kansas of the fact that they weren't aware of this.
Yeah.
And USA Today was.
Yeah. It's
why did USA Today vet this more than – it seems like they vetted it more than Kansas. We don't know that for sure, but doesn't look good.
No.
But once again, allegations, allegations. Nothing's, he did settle, though. He did settle with an intern, one intern. He did settle.
Yeah.
So whether that makes him guilty or not, maybe he just wanted to go away, whatever the case may be. NBA last night, the Jazz have won 21 last 23 games. They beat the Lakers last night. The Lakers without Anthony Davis, out with a calf strain. Dennis Schroeder out due to NBA's health and safety protocols. So Lakers were shorthanded. Jazz blew them out 114 to 89. The NBA All-Stars, we gave you the starters the other day. If you're interested in the All-Star game, March 7th, they're in Atlanta. And here are the reserves. James Harden from the Nets, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum of the Celtics, Zach LaVine of the Bulls, Julius Randle of the Knicks, Ben Simmons of the Sixers, and Nikola Vucevic of Orlando. Chris Paul is a reserve on the West from the Suns, Anthony Davis of the Lakers, Paul George of the Clippers, Rudy Gobert of the Jazz, and Donovan Mitchell as well of the Jazz, Damian Lillard of the Trailblazers, and Zion Williamson of the Pelicans. So there are four first-time NBA All-Star selections among the reserves. If you didn't know, the starters are Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in the East, along with Giannis, Bradley Beal, and Joel Embiid. That's on the East. The Western Conference starters, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, and Kawhi Leonard. And then there'll be some injury replacements as well. I think Devin Booker has already replaced Anthony Davis on this All-Star roster. So that's your All-Star rosters if you care to worry about the NBA and the All-Star game, which some players say we don't even understand why we're doing it. I know why you're doing it. It's money.
Yeah.
The NBA is doing it for money. Fans won't be there. It won't be that great. Or maybe there'll be a few fans there, but it's going to be a one-night thing. It'll be good for TV, and that's what the NBA is looking at. Showcase their stars and make some money. That's what it's all about, and it usually always is.
DeMar DeRozan didn't make it, so I don't even need to watch it, right?
The Thunder beat you on a last-second three last night.
We had seven, like, NBA players last night, on like, available.
Uh-huh,
like, there was
right.
G League guys that were starting because there's still guys in quarantine,
uh-huh.
And DeRozan's dad died, so he wasn't there.
Oh, my goodness.
And still, they only lost on a buzzer beater.
A buzzer beater. Well, yeah. The Thunder aren't that
Thunder
good.
Aren't great.
Yeah, that's right. They're rebuilding. That's true. All right, Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, on the way. Once again, it's Lakeside Osborne Girls tonight, 7 o'clock, pregame 6:50 on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. The winner moves on. The loser, done for the season.